Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host today of Women Leading the Way. And boy, do we have a powerhouse on our show today. This is a woman that when she speaks, we listen. And I am delighted to talk to you all about that. Our topic today is, how do you answer the question, what do you do that captures your listener's interest? And this is a lady that's going to get it done for us. So I am happy to just share with you that our leading lady today is Mimi Donaldson, who I've known forever. Right, Mimi? And Mimi is president. Mimi is a powerhouse. She's the president and owner of Mimi Speaks. She's an author, and she is definitely a lady who has power, influence, and a lot of good stuff going on. So, Mimi, say hello to all of our listeners.
Hello, listeners.
And it's so fun when you can't see them, right? You're like, hello, you're a dark hole, hello. I'm excited about this topic because I think for us as professional women, you know, sometimes the answer to the question, what do you do, freaks us out. I mean, some people, it just comes so naturally for them, and others, it kind of stops us. And Mimi, how do you answer the question of what do you do?
Well, you know, I've been building people's self-esteem for about 30 years. I've been keynote speaking in front of huge audiences. And one of the big topics is, how do you motivate people to, you know, be the best they can be? And so through that, my favorite thing to teach people was always how to present yourself. Like, how do you introduce yourself? How do you say what you do without the first word being without a whole bunch of wells and you knows. And it's important, especially for women, because we're judged in the first 5 seconds. I mean, men may get 30 seconds to make a first impression, but I think we get 5.
Isn't that true? I think so. I think you're right on that one. We always have the harder job.
I think so. So your first word can't be So you need to be ready to look at who's talking to you. And people always say, how do I present myself? And I say, well, what's your audience need? What need do you fulfill? And even if you're a corporate person, I was a human resources person for three big companies before I went on my own. And I always had to justify my existence. It didn't matter that I got a paycheck. I still had to justify my existence. And I still had to show why my function was necessary in the workplace. So you always have to be ready to promote yourself. And I don't mean, you know, your mother said, don't toot your own horn. Well, she was wrong. And you don't have to do it in a crummy way. You know, you don't have to do it in a pugnacious way. Can say, I help people, and then whatever you do.
You know, it is funny about that because I see it like we just got done with our Women of Influence Awards in San Diego this week. Mm-hmm. And it was fascinating to me because, you know, women owners, it's like that are good at being able to speak up who they are and what they're all about. I mean, you can see it there. It's not a confidence thing, I don't think, but I'd love your thoughts on that in a minute. Is I see corporate women that they almost don't want to tell you it's like what they do. You know, and I'm going, Lord, this is a perfect chance. It's like, oh, I don't want to tell you that I'm the head of human resources or something like that. Like, what would you suggest for professional women that aren't naturally in a sales role? But, you know, you do need to kind of have a good, ready response no matter where you're at as a professional woman.
I think so. And I think the whole thing depends on two things, because you connect with your audience on two levels. One is they want to see that you're not making them nervous, that you are confident in what you're saying. Don't make them nervous. So I always say use notes. If you have to use notes, use notes. It's so much better than going, boop. And the second thing is the words. I think we connect on the left brain level too, the logic level. Is she making sense? And so I always say, let's sketch out your words, word for word. And it gives people so much confidence that they, because I'm a speech coach now, and I tell people, you know, what can we say? They write it down and they say, oh, I can't wait to do this. I can't wait to answer the question. And then I know I've done my job. And the thing that'll make them, you know, hardly wait to do it is the words that excite them. Because you're not going to be, you have to be more excited than your audience. They're not going to be more excited about you than you are. So
that is so true on every level.
Yeah, you have to delight in your words, because when they see you delight, they will be delighted.
So what would be some tips? Like, and again, I know, you know, this is really important, especially for those of us that are in a ownership role, if we're in business. You know, they talk to us all when we start a business. You've got to have your little 30-second hook, or then it was 17 seconds. And I think now it's even down to maybe, 5 seconds? It doesn't matter.
No,
you say brother,
think,
soccer, six.
Yeah.
What's the standard protocol for having your little hook?
I was at a networking group the other day that gave you 15 seconds. That is ridiculous.
Wow.
I'm used to 30 seconds or 60 seconds. It's very luxurious. But even in 15 seconds, I say, instead of doing the old standard, I'm Mimi Donaldson and I'm a speech coach. That everybody does that. Everybody stands up. I'm so-and-so and I do so-and-so. Change it up. I say my number one. Lead with the need. I love that phrase. It really says it like it is, and it sets you apart from the other people. So I stand up and I say, you know how we love our business, but we don't love talking about our business in front of a group? And people go, yeah. And then I say, I'm Mimi Donaldson, your speech coach. And I can help
with
that. It's only 15 seconds. So you start out with a need of the audience where they're going to nod and smile. That's your whole purpose, is to get people nodding and smiling. And so you
but
have
it
to
also
lead with
takes
the
away
need.
The thread a bit. Yeah, I mean, I know you're a speech coach. And what do you find most of the time that are the challenges that, let's say, business owners, specifically women in business, have about presenting or speaking overall? I mean, is it the thing of the whole fear of being in front of an audience, or what do you see mostly?
It's both. You put your finger on it. When you said they don't like to brag about themselves, they do this modesty thing, which, you know, so it's two things. It's one, they don't want to look stupid in front of people, and they think that speaking is this ultimate challenge, and people go, how do you overcome that fear? And I say, it's not about you. Four words. It's not about you. You're not delivering into a mirror. If you are delivering into a mirror, then it's about you. Then you look at how you're presenting and what you look like and how your blouse is and what your makeup is like. No, it's not about, nobody cares about you. They want to know, why should I listen to you? What's in it for me? So if you concentrate on them and lead with the need, it really cuts the nervousness. So
I'm just still hanging on lead. I'm hanging on lead with the need. And I, you know,
isn't
I want to back
great?
Up a second. How it is, it stops me, because I'm like, that just says it all, right? It's like, are you a person or do you know a person who, it's good. I know you have been in business a long time, and it's like you've been a speaker for how many years? Do you want to like share how many years? I know it's been quite a while.
Yes, over 30 years in front of audiences of thousands of people, and I always lead with the need. I always analyze the audience, and the first minute or two of my speech has to do with what they're coping with right now. Why do they even have me? What problem do I need to solve for them? Because they're paying me big, big bucks, thousands of dollars for a 40-minute
speech. Well, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, go ahead. I'm so sorry to interrupt you. Please, go ahead.
No. I could go on and on. What were you going to ask me?
I was saying, because what's fascinating, I love this, because I know as you've been in the business for 30 years and you've been a speaker, I have two questions. One, how much has the speaking industry changed since you started? Just a kind of like little cliff notes, because it just seems like
question.
I mean, how much, and then I have another, I have 10,000 questions for you, but that's
okay,
one. How much
one
has the speaking
really
industry
good.
Changed since you started? Yeah.
Yeah, this is from my first audience, my first coaching people were keynote speakers who are making thousands of dollars, but they want to be funnier because then you're going to make more thousands of dollars. You get paid if you're funny and entertaining.
Really?
So I used to do that, yes. But nowadays, since the whole world has become more celebrity driven, your career as a keynote speaker is not realistic. If you've written a book and you get national exposure for your book and you're in demand, then you can make money speaking. But if you're just a normal person, like I was, who was just a very good speaker, you're maybe not going to get paid, or at least enough to make a living. So we have these other wonderful platforms, the TED platform and the Sue Talks, where you can
go there.
No, you really can. You can get people to say, wow, that was a really good speech. Can you do that for my company? Or, wow, what you had to say was really profound. Do you have that online? Can I send the link? And that's how things go viral, because a millennial will send the link to 100 of their friends and say, oh, you got to see this woman. She's really good. And then you go, it used to be you go to live audiences in Cincinnati or some other city, but now you can sit in your own home and people will find you.
Do you find, again, what you've seen as far as the changes, is it harder to be a paid speaker today than it was quite a few years ago?
Way harder. Because they, for instance, I spoke on the same program with Colin Powell. Okay, so Colin Powell was the celebrity who got the butts in the seats. So there were five keynoters that day. It was a big business conference, and I was the token woman. There were four men, kind of famous, but not, you know, not like Colin Powell. He got the butts in the seats. But then they had to have really good speakers, because the 3,000 people were very demanding, and they wanted really good speakers, and it was easy. So he got thousands of dollars more than I did. But I still got my salary, my fee. It was enough to live on if I did three or four speeches a month. Nowadays, they'll spend it all on the celebrity at the conferences, and then they'll want you to speak for free because you're not a celebrity. So if you're, so they pick university professors who are doing it on the side, or people who are, you know, higher ups, executive VPs and companies, like, how did you make it? So they'll have that story. That's great. But if you don't have a story, if you're just a really good speaker who teaches something, you're not going to get paid as a speaker. It's not that way anymore.
Yeah. Interesting.
It's like
so how did you get into speaking? I mean, first of all, we can tell naturally that you're just a natural at this. And I've seen you speak a gazillion times, and you just like, bam, drop the mic is what I think of you, which is a good thing if people don't know what bam means.
Yeah.
But you're phenomenal. Well, and it's like, how did you even get into this?
Well, here's the deal. You don't have to have my background. But what you have to do, if you get free speeches, which is how you start, speak for any group that wants a speaker, anytime, anywhere, and then tape record yourself, you know, audio tape. And then after the speech, which now is really easy, you do it on your phone. After the speech, you listen to the audio tape, and you don't listen to how great you were. You listen to where the audience reacted. And when they did a little giggle, then you say, oh, okay, what did I just say? Why did they giggle? And then you do it that way. I taped every single speech in the beginning of my career, and I refined it according to when the audience went, oh, or the audience went, ooh, or the audience would start to talk to each other because they connected, or if they giggled or laughed. And then I would make sure that I said it that way. So you don't have to have a background. I'm saying you have to put in the hard work. You have to write the speech, and I can help you do that. That's my career right now. And so you write the speech, but then you have to hone it. And a speech won't get good until you've done it a bunch of times, and you don't just deliver the information, you dance with the information. I should copyright that,
ooh,
too.
Nice
you
visual,
dance
yeah.
With it. You're not just talking it. You're not just saying it. You're dancing with it. You're delighting in it, and they delight in it. So my background, it's not that everybody has to have this background. People go, see, if I say my background, they'll go, oh, but I wasn't a drama major. I don't think I can do this. That's not true. I was a drama major in college. Then I was going to be a famous Broadway star. But then I realized that you have to go to auditions. Ooh, no.
You didn't like that, huh?
Oh, no. I went to one. It was like, no, I have to wait to be chosen? Uh-uh. So I went to Columbia University and got my master's in teaching because then I could have a captive audience. I was a university professor, and so I was teaching. So I love being in front of a group. So I was always in front on stage. So it was teaching, mm-hmm. teaching. Then I went to human resources, stand-up trainer for Disney and Northrop and Rockwell, and those were my real, you know, punch-the-time-clock jobs. But I got to speak and teach managers how to manage people. So it was in front of the room. And because of the management stuff, one guy at Northrop Aircraft, I'll never forget, he said, can you just do that funny men and women part for our management club? I went, what?
Oh,
he
fun.
Said, you know that the part of the communications course that you do right before lunch? And we all laughed. And I said, yeah. And he goes, can you just do that piece? And I went, no, it's part of a full-day course. It's what are you talking about? He goes, we'll give you $100. And I thought,
oh, good Lord.
Oh, that was my first speaking gig. And wow. And then I realized there's a whole career out there called keynote speaking. So I turned all of my 60-hour courses into funny keynotes that highlighted tips, which is what people want in a keynote.
Wow.
And I went from there.
And you have been, what made you, I know you're a book author. Your book is fabulous. I just have started. I'm about halfway through because I know I got the gift from you a little bit ago. It's perfect. It's like, tell us how the book came about because I know you coach presenters. I mean, like I said, we've got limited time, but I got 1,000 questions. What was the prompt for the book idea?
Well, I'm not a writer who speaks. I'm a speaker who writes. There's a difference. So
interesting.
I wrote a book called Bless Your Stress, It Means You're Still Alive in 2006 with a co-author who also taught stress because of all my stress management material. So, you know, I had been teaching it for so long that I put it in a book with all kinds of examples. And, you know, that was the first book that came out of courses. And then the next one was about managing people in leadership, and it was called Necessary Roughness, New Rules for the Contact Sport of Life. It used football as a metaphor because I love football, the game. And my third book was because popular demand, I would coach people, and they would say, well, I have the handouts, but you should write a book, and then you could just give the book out after people are, you know, write their speech with you. And it reinforces all the stuff I've taught. So this is pitch perfect. Speak to grow your business in 7 simple steps, not just for business owners. It's anybody who has to actually stand up and talk in a meeting or have a one-to-one and get a raise or a promotion. It's how do you talk to people so they will listen and say, ooh, yeah, I agree with you. I want to give that to you.
You know, how much, you know, you landed on something that I think is interesting with all the, you know, millennial conversation and what kids today do or don't do. It's like, what do you find is the biggest challenge? Because I feel with kids today, if I can say that, it's like they have a real time uttering you know, conversation and talk, right? Like they, it's hard for them to do chit chat, and you have to do that in business, right? You have to be able to interact with people, but especially for giving, do you find that or no?
Well, I don't know. There's some very well-spoken millennials. I have nephews who are very well-spoken and love to write and talk, but it is, their attention span is less than ours. When I first started doing keynote speaking in 1984, if you didn't give them 45 minutes to an hour, they didn't think they were getting their money's worth. Now, you look at your Sue Talks and TED Talks, and they are 7 to 18 minutes. At the chamber, you used to get 30 minutes or 45. Now you get 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's all
short
attention span. Yes, it's shorter, and they even the books have to be shorter. And so, and there's books on tape now because they don't even want to read. So they want to listen to books
the
or they want to watch
yeah.
Or they want to watch a YouTube thing, something on YouTube. So I have tons of videos on my YouTube channel. So that's what they call me.
What three top tips would you give any of our listeners, Mimi, that, you know, if they struggle, and let's just say both corporate women or entrepreneurs,
yes.
Like what three tips would you give people just to kind of help them if they struggle with how to converse or, you know, answer the question, what do you do?
Okay. Well, number one, whenever you address anyone, even if you're going into the boss for a raise, the four magic words. It's not about you. You have to point out that you understand where they're coming from, and you have to understand that you tell them you understand their need, problem, or situation. So it's not about you. Number two, when you do talk to them, lead with the need. Even if you're going in for a raise or promotion, you talk about the need. You talk about how it's so necessary for them to have a motivated, great person, and you talk about how their business has doubled and now, you know, you understand they want it to triple. You have to understand where they want to go. What is their need, situation, or problem, and lead with the need. And third, I would say speak in a logical manner that you answer the questions in the listener's mind as the questions come up. That's why my book is called Speak to Grow Your Business in 7 Simple Steps, because people are asking 7 questions in a row, and they want you to answer them in a row. Number one is they're asking, like, what do you know my need? Wait, why should I listen to you? What's in it for me? So you have to lead with that.
Right.
And then it goes on from there. Number two, they're saying, so what you got? What's your solution? Wait, what? And then the third question they're asking, well, who are you? Aren't there a bunch of financial planners out there? Aren't there a bunch of speech coaches out there? So then you tell them how you're different. And it goes like that. You answer their questions in their minds so that they're nodding and smiling the whole time. And afterwards, they come up and tell you the 5 magic words that you want. I think I need you.
I love those words.
Drop the mic. Yeah, no, that's it. That's what you want to hear. And if you're a corporate woman, that's what you want your boss to say. Man, do I need you.
I love that. You know, when you think about how the speaking industry has changed, I do see a lot of, you know, women that kind of struggle with the whole idea of how to communicate more effectively, get their point across, right? Ask for the business, ask for a raise. Those are kind of those standard things. You know, if you were, or think of a client relationship you were working with, can you just share a story maybe about a woman that, you know, was in a situation that you worked with as a speech coach? And I mean, whether it was an owner or a corporate woman, and what was the outcome of it, you know?
Oh, well, it's just a recent story. I have this wonderful client who makes gorgeous purses. I mean, high-end purses. They're very individual, gorgeous materials, suede, and all this stuff. And I said to her when we started working together, do you know the history of purses? And she said, no. And I said, what was the first purse? Do you know it? She said, no. I said, oh, because what I included in my program is three hours of my research. So I'm a research nerd. If you are a purse maker, you better know and be able to drop in a couple sentences about the first purse ever. And sure enough, I looked it up, and it was a guy. It was worn by a man, a caveman, over 2,000 years ago. Otzi the Iceman. He made a pouch from an animal intestine. I know that's just gross. But he would put his stuff in there and keep it on his belt. And that was the first purse. It was a pouch. And when she drops that in, people's mouths just hang open. It was like, oh, yes. It's like, oh, she comes from. So now she is the educator of purses in the world. And people feel better spending money with people who are the expert. Right?
That's another drop the mic. I mean, seriously, that's so awesome that was such a different hook. But, you know, which leads me to, we only got a few minutes left. It's like, you know, you're right. There's so many speech coaches out there. So I'm going to turn the tables on you and go, how are you different? I mean, that's a perfect example. But when people ask you, how are you different? What do you answer when you say, this is why I'm, you know, fabulous, wonderful, and awesome?
Well, I even put it in my 30 seconds. In my 30-second intro, this last part of it, the last 15 seconds, is together we'll use my 30 years of keynote speaking experience in front of audiences of thousands with celebrities, and then I look at a person and say, which you don't have to do, which everybody laughs, to craft your perfect marketing speech. And we'll find the funny, because when people are laughing, they're buying. So there might be some speech coaches out there, but how many of them have had a successful keynote career for 30 years? Not many.
Yeah.
So that's,
I think you're right.
Claim to fame. So you have to find
your
claim to fame. And that's what you say to people. That's why you're different.
God, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. I want to make sure that if any of our listeners want to reach you, how do you want to be contacted? Because you might have some interest and little hands going up going, oh, I need Mimi. How would you want to be contacted by our listeners?
Yes. Well, it's not a big, it's not like forever. I don't take a year doing this. We write your marketing speech and we write your 30-second and 60-second. And it's 2 to 3 sessions with me, and that's it. And you are going, and then you can report to me what you did. So Mimi.com, M-I-M-I, Mimi@MimiDonaldson.com.
Awesome. I know we're going to have a link to your site. Then is it a, you know, you'd rather have an email sent to you, but you've got your website, right? Can people?
Yeah, they can look at my website. There's videos. There's all kinds of YouTube stuff on my website. They can get all kinds of speaking tips and like stuff from my book, excerpts and all that stuff on the YouTube stuff. And they can read my bio and how impressive it is.
We're going to build you up more. We're going to build you up more because I want to say congratulations to you, because you shared with me just recently that you were just selected as a TEDx coach. Am I correct? That you're coaching now TED speakers. That's awesome.
Yes,
that's awesome. Congratulations on that.
Thank you so much.
Well, very good. Very good. I know. I hope our listeners talk to you again. Get the book Pitch Perfect. I'm assuming available on Amazon. Am I correct, Mimi?
Yes, you are.
Good book. To our listeners, man, you know, you got to speak up. You got to be willing to have conversations and be purposeful about it. So that said, Mimi, you're an amazing leading lady. I want you back again for another Women Lead Radio show.
Oh,
and to our listeners, we always love that you are loyal and you listen, and we just have really great presenters and interviews with amazing women. You know, we're here every Monday at 9 a.m. and Fridays at 2 p.m., and I am delighted to share with you that on Monday morning, our next topic and focus is we're going to be having a conversation with Laura Hendrickson by Barbara Eldridge, our host of Trendsetting Women, on 5 key elements for a successful online marketing sales funnel. So bam, if you are a woman business owner or want to be, it would be a radio show to listen to. So Mimi, thank you again to our listeners.
Thank you.
Great weekend. And you know, with women leading the way, we always, or at least what I like to say is, please be supportive of other professional women. It's what's going to move the needle forward for all of us. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on the next show.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.